Support for WMFE comes from Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University's worldwide campus, where highly ranked online degree programs offer the flexibility to learn what students want from wherever they are. More at erau.edu/worldwide.
Welcome to Engage, leading conversations that matter. Join in the conversation. Send an email to engage@cfpublic.org. Send a recorded talkback message on the free Central Florida Public Media app. Leave a voicemail by calling 407-273-2300, extension 246. Engage is made possible with the support of listeners like you.
You're listening to Engage on Central Florida Public Media. I'm Sharon Stone. We're taking time today to hear voices around our community in the aftermath of Hurricane Milton. The president of Duke Energy in Florida joins us. We look at the impact on our immigrant community and the unhoused. You'll hear from engineers on the ground responding to hard-hit areas. City officials in Orlando are assessing neighborhoods this afternoon. They're encouraging residents to be cautious when heading outside. Bodies of water can be electrically charged from downed power lines or contain other hazards. Emergency response teams are out working as we speak. Orlando Mayor Buddy Dyer is among those assessing damage, debris, and outages with city crews. Mayor Dyer gave Engage a quick update this afternoon. Can you just talk to me a little bit about what are you seeing out there, just general damage, your assessment right now?
Well, I think we had good fortune last night that the storm that was predicted wasn't what hit us. There's far less damage than I anticipated, both in tree canopy that's come down and flooding. We have trees that we can count less than 100 probably that have come down, and just localized flooding. So I feel very thankful that we didn't get worse than we did, and I'm appreciative of all of our residents that took the storm seriously and prepared and were prepared when it came through. Power outages at the early hours this morning, OUC had about 87,000 customers that were out. I know that they've restored a substantial amount of that. They're anticipating that they'll get the majority done today and should be fully restored by tomorrow.
That sounds like a really great response, like a good outcome for what could have been much worse.
Yeah, I was anticipating that it was going to be the worst storm we'd ever had, a combo of Charlie and Ian, and fortunately it wasn't.
Mayor Dyer, have you had any reports of injuries to any residents?
The only injury that I'm aware of is a firefighter that was involved in a house fire down in the Conway area that inadvertently got touched the power line or made contact with that. So he's recovering, but he is in the hospital.
That's good to hear that he's going to be making a full recovery. Can you talk to me about what your priorities are, what you're going to be doing the next couple days?
We have about 400 traffic signals that are impacted one way or another. So getting all of the roads clear, traffic signals are certainly a priority. And I want to remind all your listeners that if you come to a traffic signal that is not powered or is blinking, you need to treat that as a four-way stop. So even if it's a four-lane road on one side and a two-lane road connecting, the four-lane needs to stop just like it's a four-way stop. So I've noticed some of the intersections that are like that, that the people think they have a right-of-way on the four-lane part of it, but they don't. Everybody needs to stop and treat it like a four-way stop. So we'll be working to restore that. And OUC, of course, is working to restore power. And then from there, it's really debris cleanup.
And we know in this community, we can really come together in Orlando. And disasters can really, at times, bring out the best in people. Have you encountered that in the community? How are they responding?
The neighborhoods I've been in, neighbors are checking on neighbors, and that's what I would encourage you to do. If you have seniors that live on your street or people that live alone, check in on them. If there are people with special needs on your street and you know of that, just be neighborly. Check in and see if anybody needs something that you can help them out with.
And Mayor, just here we are on Thursday afternoon. Do we have the all clear? Can people start heading out, or do we still need to be kind of hanging tight?
You're okay to travel. Just be careful because there are power lines down and there is still some little bit of localized flooding. I think most of it, if not all of it, is marked in some fashion, but just be careful.
And to wrap up, anything else you would like our audience to hear from you, Mayor?
Again, I'm just thankful to the citizens of Orlando that all took this storm very seriously. We were lucky that it did not hit us in the way that we had anticipated. So let's all be thankful for that. And this probably isn't the last storm we're going to see this season. So enjoy this fall weather we got as a result of it.
I think we can all agree that would be ideal. Thank you so much for your time, Mayor Dyer.
Okay. Take care.
That was Orlando Mayor Buddy Dyer. The city's citizen information line is 407-246-HELP if you need to report damage, downed trees, or traffic lights that are out. Speaking of outages, more than 3 million homes and businesses are still without power in Florida. This is according to the website poweroutages.us. Just to give you a sense of how significant the outages are in the state, energy companies serve more than 11.5 million customers statewide. Nearly 100% of people in Hardy County, that's south of Polk, lost power. Duke Energy is one of the major service providers in Central Florida. Their crews are among those assessing damage from Milton's strong winds, heavy rain, flooding, storm surge, tornadic activity. Melissa Sasha is Duke Energy's state president in Florida. She joined Engage this afternoon for an update on restoration efforts. Heading into Milton, one of the biggest concerns we heard about was power outages, and we've seen millions of people across the state without power. Can you let me know where you were for Duke Energy customers at the height of outages and update us on where you are now?
Well, I would say that we are at the height of outages now. As of 12:30 this afternoon, we had about 988,000 customers without power. 414,000 of them are in Pinellas County, and another 100,000 in Orange County. And I share those two locations because that's kind of broadly the path that the storm took and the impact that it had as it crossed the state of Florida in our service area.
How do you prioritize where to respond first?
We have a tried and true process, like a very similar to a lot of other utilities. So certainly preparation is a big part of that year round, and mobilizing resources. So you know, preparation is communication with our authorities, partners, customers. There's the mobilization of resources, and then when it comes to actual restoration, there's a few things that happen in parallel or concurrently. Damage assessment is critical. That's the phase that we're in today. We at Sunrise today sent people out into the field on foot, by car, to survey damage. We also are using drones and helicopters on some of our transmission infrastructure. And that eyes and ears out in the field will give us the insight that we need to determine what additional resources we may need, where we need to focus first. And when I say first, there's a few things that happen. So one is we work with emergency management agencies at the county and state level throughout the year to identify critical infrastructure in their respective communities. So think of things like hospitals, 911 centers, shelters, water treatment plants, lift stations, to make sure that we can try to restore those critical infrastructure for the, you know, the broader welfare of the community. And at the same time, we aim to repair pieces of equipment or infrastructure that will bring the most customers on the fastest or first. And this really has to do with the way the grid is designed. So if you think about a main feeder line, it's somewhat like the interstate, and our branch lines are like the exits. We have to, I'll say, clear the interstate or repair that main line before we can get to the branch lines. And I'll try to give you another way to think about it as well. If you're in a neighborhood and there's a transformer off that has 12 people, even if we replace that transformer, but the upstream equipment hasn't been fixed and energized, then that transformer won't be energized. So we have to kind of work in that sequence from biggest pieces of equipment with the most customers on upstream, and then work our way to branch lines and such.
How do you know when it is safe for your crews to start the restoration process?
We have, safety, of course, is our number one priority for not only our employees, but for our customers as well. And so we use a lot of meteorology information to determine when it is safe to kind of give the all clear for those damage assessors and other crew members to go out into the field. And with a storm like Milton, you know, it hit through Pinellas County or the Gulf side first. And so it cleared the Pinellas County or the Gulf side area first, and has, you know, made its way overnight to the East Coast until it exited into the Atlantic. So even this morning, there were still some lingering, very strong gusts. We do not send our crews out into the field with bucket trucks when winds sustained exceed 39 miles per hour. So that's also one of the thresholds that we use. But this particular storm, we were able to get out, especially on the Gulf side of our system, early this morning, as soon as, you know, daylight came up.
Have you dealt with this level of damage recently in terms of widespread outages from a hurricane?
Well, we've had our fair share of outages and hurricanes events. You know, the last 13 months between Idalia and Debbie and Helene that made landfall in Taylor County, which is part of our service area. We serve the city of Perry there. And even though it is more rural, you know, still a significant number of customers. But we've also had experience with these types of high-end category storms. Hurricane Michael in 2018 hit Mexico Beach. It was a Category 5. We serve Mexico Beach. And then we had the opportunity to assist Lee County Electric Co-op when Hurricane Ian hit 2 years ago, and we worked to restore Pine Island down there. But this particular storm, we felt based on models that we would probably have upwards of, you know, over a million outages, just given the strength and the potential to be so widespread. I think if you recall, as it was getting closer to making landfall, that wind field just got bigger and broader. And that's exactly what we've seen. So we have counties that are impacted down from Highlands all the way over to Volusia and up into Alachua and, of course, along the Gulf Coast. So we're active in all of those counties and working closely with officials on priorities and communication and information that's helpful to them. In some cases, we have road clearing crews that are embedded with either law enforcement or fire rescue as they try to conduct search and rescue, you know, early on in the aftermath of the storm. So there's a lot of activity out there. One thing that I would mention is that for a lot of customers, when they don't see a truck on their street, they assume that nothing's happening. But it very well could be that we are assessing or making repairs on a piece of equipment that serves their community or serves their neighborhood. It could be 2 blocks away or it could be 2 miles away. It's all dependent on how the grid is designed and how it serves that particular area.
And I think the big question people want to know, the governor said as of 12:30 this afternoon, power is back for 700,000 customers. When are the rest of them going to get power back?
Well, today being the critical day around assessment, and of course that will be ongoing, it is a priority for us to get an estimated time of restoration for our customers because they need to be able to plan their lives. So I think that within, you know, the next 48 hours, we will have a line of sight that we'll be able to communicate that to our customers.
Melissa Sasha is Duke Energy's state president in Florida. There's more ahead here on Engage. We will talk with the Christian Service Center about efforts to get unhoused Floridians out of harm's way and supported after the storm. You can check out our website for the latest on recovery from Hurricane Milton. You can find that at cfpublic.org. That is where we are streaming live now. This is Engage on Central Florida Public Media. This is Engage on Central Florida Public Media. I'm Sharon Stone. Central Florida has seen its unhoused population explode in recent years. Their safety and welfare during hurricane season has been of paramount concern to the organizations that provide services and comfort to this vulnerable community. Eric Gray is the executive director of the Christian Service Center in Orlando, a nonprofit with a mission to prevent homelessness, combat poverty, cultivate self-sufficiency, and restore hope. He joined us earlier today to talk about his organization's efforts to provide shelter and provisions during Milton. In your work as executive director with the Christian Service Center, how are you doing outreach with the homeless population? What are you seeing now in Central Florida?
Well, fortunately, we're part of a really big team of dozens of agencies throughout Central Florida that did a really good job, actually, of preparing people to let them know where to go during the storm, and really in partnership with the city and the county, who I thought did an excellent job of making sure that the shelters were not only available, but available early so that people could, you know, get in. They opened shelters on Tuesday, so that was really great. The downsides were that, you know, the people who are experiencing homelessness are among the hardest people in the world to communicate with because they're not accessible to, you know, any type of mass media. It's not like you can pick up a phone and call a bunch of people. So even as late as yesterday afternoon around 2 or 3 o'clock, we were still at the campus, people walking up and were redirecting them to get on Lynx buses to go to shelter. And we had about 60 or so people. And we thought we covered everybody by Tuesday evening. And sure enough, you know, Wednesday, we're still talking to people. My biggest concerns yesterday were the people who just absolutely did not trust going even to shelter just because they've had bad experiences in their personal lives with other things. And so they rode out the storm just outside and then huddling in doorways. Fortunately, everybody that we knew of doing that is fine this morning. We had a couple families that we encouraged that are living in their cars to get to some of the downtown parking garages that the city opened. And frankly, we snuck them into some commercial garages too that probably we shouldn't have. But, you know, for purposes like this, we're happy to ask forgiveness, you know, later. So feel pretty good about getting everybody in. Right now, the challenge is that all the shelters are letting people go. As of noon today, the different mass shelters for people with they're homeless or letting people out. We just had four Lynx buses drop people off at the campus, and our staff are not up and running yet. So we're scrambling to make PB&Js and to just get everything back on. Fortunately, power is fine at the campus, and we have a lot of volunteers who've been really helpful.
Any thought on a timeline for when you might be able to get fully back up and running?
Well, I thought we were going to be fully back up and running tomorrow, but as it turns out, I think we're going to be fully back up and running today because I don't think we have any choice. We just have so many people that are coming. So the staff is mobilizing out there for us to be back up and running by about 2 o'clock. So I think we're up and going now. And we're putting the word out mostly because we weren't fully prepared for today to be open. We're just been putting a call out for people that want to make we call it Operation Sandwich, where people put together, you know, sandwiches in little Ziploc bags and put those in another bigger Ziploc bag with a bottle of water and a bag of chips or a piece of fruit. Usually it's PB&Js or ham and cheese or turkey and cheese, things like that, just because we weren't prepared to do meals for 400, 500, or 600 people today. And we'll be back up and ready, you know, tomorrow for to do normal operations. But I think today for lunch and everything, you know, just giving people any type of meal, we're scrambling a little bit.
And Eric, what are you hearing from the people who are already coming to you today about their experience in the storm?
Well, actually, fairly positive things about the shelter experience. I think they all were actually very pleased with, you know, the different high schools that they ended up going to. A lot of our folks ended up at Colonial High School. Orange County had 11 different facilities going, and they all seemed to be very positive about it. Unfortunately, you know, their experience of experiencing homelessness is not changed, you know, and so they're still living outdoors, and they still are dealing with the weather no matter what day it is or what time of year it is. And so, you know, this is unfortunately just a normal part of life for too many people. And it's an emergency for them every day. And we're just trying to help them manage through that emergency one day at a time.
And to wrap up, what are the biggest challenges for you in the days after a storm?
You know, part of it is just getting the staff back up to regular operations. I think everybody is always a little shell-shocked. And, you know, it's almost like a snow day, you know, when we have these types of hurricanes come through. And just getting everybody back up into regular rhythm is sometimes challenging. Sometimes just the normal disruption in operations, you know, backs things up, even if you're just down for 2 days. We had to cancel our largest fundraiser of the year, which was supposed to be tomorrow. And so we postponed that for another 6 weeks. So things like that, you know, the small disruptions, they start to pile up. But, you know, I'm very hopeful and frankly thankful that we didn't have any more damage. We really didn't have anything significant other than just some, you know, small leaks and down tree limbs and things like that. And so far as we can tell, no major injuries and everybody seems to be fine. So we're very thankful that it couldn't have been a lot worse, and we're glad that it wasn't.
Eric Gray is Executive Director for the Christian Service Center for Central Florida. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is mobilizing their response in this state. Keep in mind, this comes less than 2 weeks after Hurricane Helene made landfall along the coastal bend as a Category 4 before weakening and continuing north into Georgia, Tennessee, and North Carolina. Lieutenant General William Graham commands the United States Army Corps of Engineers. He joined Engage from the field to talk about their role when disasters like Milton visit Florida. What is your role in emergency response after hurricanes, and what are you doing now?
Yeah. So ma'am, we work as the Army Corps of Engineers works as part of the federal family under the FEMA umbrella is a large part of our response. And so working with FEMA right now, our role is to take a look at, I don't want to get into too much of bureaucrat speak with you, but we handle emergency support function number 3 for FEMA, and that's public works and engineering. And so the missions we're looking at to assist the folks in Central Florida right now are potentially a temporary roof mission. You might have heard that called a blue roof mission in the past, and we're surveying right now to see the extent of the damage for all the wind that came through with Milton. Second mission is to use our engineers to assist the state and local engineers to assess their infrastructure after a storm rolls through. And that's primarily water treatment plants, wastewater treatment plants are of immediate concern right now. That's under FEMA's authorities. Under the Army Corps' normal authorities, our first port of Tampa, that navigation coming in out of the port of Tampa through the channel is unimpeded. And so as soon as the storm cleared, working in conjunction with the port, working in conjunction with the Coast Guard, of survey vessels out, making sure that the storm didn't push any sand underwater into the channels that might pose a hazard to the maritime traffic coming out, and particularly the fuel barges that Florida relies on. So that's of immediate concern to us. And then the second mission is using some of our expertise in water management to help Florida, we call it unwatering, but it's move floodwaters out of low-lying areas and get it to drain more rapidly. I think when Hurricane Ian came through a few years back, we worked with a South Florida Water Management District, who are wonderful, and we brought in the Navy's supervisor of salvage, which are tremendous capabilities, and we actually pumped the Kissimmee chain of lakes backwards for a week or so to allow water to drain out down into Lake Okeechobee.
With the Blue Roof project that you were mentioning, are you talking literally about the tarps that we see put on roofs to stop
that's
the
right.
rain? Okay.
That's exactly right. And so the intent behind the Blue Roof mission is if your roof is, you know, just this isn't for if the storm ripped off the plywood and your bedroom's open to the elements. This is for if maybe, you know, a quarter or up to half of your shingles got ripped off, and if it was only you will eventually have to fix your roof permanently. But the concept behind the Blue Roof mission is to get a temporary waterproof covering up on your roof, and that allows you to get it back in your home until you can work with your insurance company and get permanent roof repairs effected. But that allows you to get back in your home, get your kids back into school, and get the local economy started as soon as possible. So the Blue Roof mission that you've seen, that's what we're talking.
Okay. Will you be doing any site surveys within Central Florida specifically, or are there other areas you're going to be focusing your attention on?
So they'll follow the path of the storm using imagery to take a look and gain a good assessment of, is this something that, you know, the local groups can handle, or is this something that's going to require a federal help? And those assessments are ongoing as we speak.
There's so much misinformation and just uncertainty about what should be done in terms of what resources are available to me. Can you please just clarify, what do people who need help need to be doing now? Where should they reach to?
So the best is to turn to your local officials and let them know what their needs are. And we are working with through the state to make sure that connection, and Florida's really good at this, is connecting local needs up through the counties to the state and over to the federal government.
Is there anything else you would like us to know here in Central Florida as we move on from Milton?
Ma'am, I just, certainly our hearts go out to everybody that's affected by both of these hurricanes. I would just like to probably end with, over the last decade, the Corps of Engineers, we invested about $1.8 billion in making sure that the flood protection around Lake Okeechobee was up to the task. And that's the Herbert Hoover Dike that we just finished a year and a half, 2 years ago. And so I think in past hurricanes that would roar through Central Florida into the Kissimmee watershed, we would be concerned about the stability of the dike around Lake Okeechobee. I had no concerns as Milton rolled in. It's a long-term investment in our infrastructure, I think, is absolutely key. And so last night, nobody was worrying about Lake Okeechobee spilling its banks, as it had been known to do in, you know, back in the 20s and 30s. And so that investment was a wise investment.
Lieutenant General William Graham commands the United States Army Corps of Engineers. Next on Engage, meeting in the middle for relief. The event being planned this weekend by Hope Community Center to support vulnerable residents in their recovery. This is Engage on Central Florida Public Media. You're listening to Engage on Central Florida Public Media. I'm Sharon Stone. Hope Community Center works with Central Florida's immigrant and working poor communities. They're doing outreach to thousands of people now that Hurricane Milton has moved through our region. Felipe Sosa Lazabayet is executive director at the Hope Community Center. He joined Engage to talk about their canvassing efforts, the challenges they're facing, and an event they're planning in the days ahead for relief efforts. Tell me about the outreach efforts that you're doing right now to thousands of people and just why you're doing that and the logistics of it in a hurricane and the aftermath.
Absolutely. So we started our activation on Monday by calling approximately 6,000 people to make sure that they knew information about the hurricane, the intensity. We're also trying to make sure that they understood that if there was any order of evacuation, that they should listen to the authorities. And as information continued to be shared with the community in regards to shelters and places where people can find support during the storm, we're also sharing with the program participants of Hope. We did that because we knew that many times our community members don't oftentimes trust the government, information doesn't necessarily get to them. So that was the work we did before the storm. During the storm, we kept our lines open in Portuguese, English, Spanish, and Haitian Creole. So folks could get information as we were getting it from Orange County about resources during the storm. And now we are assessing damages in both our buildings. It seems like we have a small leak in the roof of one of our buildings, but tomorrow we'll start a ranger outreach campaign, which will consist of phone banking, again, about approximately 6,000 people, and then canvassing on foot some of the trailer parks around Apopka, and all of that to invite folks for our Meet in the Middle for Relief, which is a major effort to bring immediate relief to those most impacted by the hurricane. We have ready to go 2,000 warm meals already, and we're working with community partners to bring food and other resources that we know folks need in the aftermath of a hurricane like this.
I do want to talk to you more about that event on Saturday to make sure people have all the details. But I'd also like to ask you about what issues you are encountering or expecting to encounter as you do this canvassing. I'm thinking about you must be working with a lot of people who are out of work, who live paycheck to paycheck.
That's correct. What we know based also on previous hurricanes is that at the very minimum, the folks who we work with, which are mostly working class immigrants, many who are undocumented, they are getting paid very, very, very little for the important work that they do, sometimes minimum wage, living paycheck to paycheck. And 3 days without work is 3 days without pay. And also to put more over all of the electricity outages that are happening in the area, which would mean that food will spoil. So we know that food insecurity is going to be a major problem. We know that lost wages and the impact on households that are living paycheck to paycheck will be another important thing that we're working towards. And then finally, advocating on behalf of many people who don't necessarily are looked after during a hurricane like this. This is why we are collecting data and information so we can share with authorities and local governments so we can work together in the long-term relief effort that we're going to have to be part of as our communities go back to normal.
Quick follow-up on that. What kind of information are you looking together to advocate for the people you're helping?
We are we're essentially collecting information about the top issues impacting them right now, which we are, some of the questions we're asking are the relationship between property damage, any kind of health issues that they may be facing. Also looking at outages, wages that may be lost, all of that, so we can have a good picture of the most immediate needs in our community. And also use that to be able to go to authorities that are sharing resources and advocate so those can be shared with our community in a fair way.
You also mentioned that you're working with a lot of undocumented people. What are some of the challenges this community faces in the aftermath in trying to recover?
The first one is the fear of deportation and not knowing who to trust. And what that oftentimes means, people don't come forward and look for the help that they're entitled to. So this is why we are working hard to make sure that we're sharing accurate information that can serve them. And at the same time, giving them the resources they immediately need in order to be able to survive and to, you know, get through this really hard time for them and their families. But a lot of times also the other pieces, the lack of information or misinformation that creates a sense of animosity towards immigrants in general. We heard and seen what that's been like for Hurricane Helene, and we can expect something similar to happen now with Hurricane Milton. It's really important for our community to know that immigrants are not the problem. Immigrants work hard, and we're part of this community, and we deserve to be treated as such, and most importantly, that our human dignity is preserved.
A lot of the people that you work with and serve, you mentioned, are in mobile home communities. Have you reached out to them yet, or what are you anticipating they will need?
Several of our staff members actually came from our programs. About 70% of us started in one as a program participant or someone who came at some point for help. So a lot of, we also live in the communities that we serve. So based on what we are seeing is a lot of electricity outages already have been reported to us. And then we're working through essentially figuring out still what are the major issues going on the ground. But tomorrow we are going to hit the ground running and actually visit some of these places with our staff to bring information, resources, and invite them to the Saturday event.
And one more time, if we could just go over your event on Saturday, Meet in the Middle for Relief, just all the information that we could possibly need to share about that.
Absolutely. So Meet in the Middle for Relief is an effort that HOPE and other organizations are bringing together so we can be there for our communities in the moment that we need it the most. We are accepting non-perishable donations of food so we can distribute on Saturday. We also have a hurricane relief link in case folks want to give donations, and we'll share those donations with those who need it the most. Our event is this Saturday from 12 to 4 p.m. at 800 South Hawthorne Avenue, Apopka, Florida, and zip code is 32703. We are going to offer warm meals, also just a place, a soft place in a hard world right now where people can come, relax, and get resources. We'll also be doing some education on the importance of voting on the day of the event, and just be there for our community. So if you need us, please come. Again, Saturday, 12 to 4 p.m., and the address is 800 South Hawthorne Avenue, Apopka, Florida, 32703.
And just to wrap up, is there anything else you would like our audience to hear from you?
I think it's most important that in tragic moments like this, we as Central Floridians stay united despite whatever we are hearing on national television from national politicians. Immigrants are not the problem. We're here to support our community. And most importantly, the Hope Community Center is here for anyone who needs us right now. So come on Saturday or come on Monday. We'll be there for you.
Felipe Sosa Lazabayet is Executive Director at the Hope Community Center. I have a quick update for you from Volusia County. The county is going to enforce a curfew starting at 9 o'clock tonight. That is Thursday, October 10th. It ends at 5 a.m. Friday. Doesn't apply to regular members of law enforcement, employees traveling for work, or for emergency workers. That is all for today's edition of Engage. We are back Tuesday at 3 o'clock. You can always check out our website for the latest on recovery from Hurricane Milton. You can find that at cfpublic.org. Thank you for joining us. I'm Sharon Stone. All Things Considered is coming up following NPR News.